92.9, 107.5, and 680 WPTF. This is Making Your Home Great. I'm Dave Alexander. She is Holly Bowers, Executive Vice President of Roofworks. That's a great title. That's more than just vice president, right? Are you in charge of any other vice presidents?
No.
No, you're not. Okay. But you're an executive, which means
that I have a lot of responsibility.
Yeah, you're.
Yes,
you're
exactly like, what that means.
Yeah, I kind of imagine that you're the, when it goes wrong, when anything goes wrong, a delivery of whatever doesn't go, yeah, I assume you're involved in this.
No, I mean, we've done really good as far as spreading out, you know, who's in charge of what. So
okay.
I think as we keep growing, we're going to keep having people moving up into bigger leadership positions. And that's what makes it so gratifying is you kind of start and at the bottom work your way up. And it's just been a lot of hard work, really.
You know,
I'm very grateful for
that's good
everything.
You know, in theory, a person could imagine that Roofworks is a small operation, a couple of people. You've only mentioned a couple of names on the show. You mentioned Derwin, as he's been on the show, and what Will, right?
Yep.
But you're not just a couple of people.
Oh, and, no, we're so much bigger.
And you're not doing this work, you know, out of a van, like two vans with roof racks.
No. It takes tremendous teamwork to pull this together. It really does. And I talk about that all the time, how thankful we are for our whole entire team, because there's no one person that could ever make this thing work.
Right.
We're way beyond that point.
And we talk about the sweet spot because, you know, we discourage people from hiring, for instance, a roofer whose pants are covered with paint, you know, because, you know, he's painting most of the time. He's doing drywall and then he's a roofer. We discourage people from calling folks like that. But we also, you don't want to make it sound so big that you don't have time for my gutters. Do you guys have time to clear the gutters?
And that's what makes us so special is that we can do everything. We want those small jobs because, honestly, it's about building relationships. And for us, we want to make sure that you go with someone that you can trust and work with us throughout the whole process and the whole lifespan of however long you live in your house for or own your business.
Good. I hate the uncertainty. I talked to a bunch of people online, you know, they're all over the country, and one guy just said, you know, owning a house is not worth it to me. It just deteriorates around you. And we're going to talk, you and I, about how to prevent that. Jim is on the line from Raleigh. Hey, Jim, how you doing today?
Happy Valentine's Day to everybody.
Yeah.
Hello, Alexander the Great. How are you doing?
Wait a minute. Jim, is it Valentine's Day?
Almost.
Coming up. You better remember it, Alexander the Great, because if you don't, then, you know, you're liable to catch something that you don't want to catch.
I mean, Jim, if you couldn't have scared me more.
Oh.
It's not Valentine's. I mean, I got to go shopping, and it's not today. My deadline is not today.
Two things you don't forget is anniversaries and Valentine's Day.
Yeah. All right, so Jim, what's going on today?
Hello, Holly Jolly. How's Her Holiness doing?
It's going great.
Got a couple of questions for you. One, with spring coming up, with a roof warranty, God forbid if there be a leak in the roof, naturally the person that put the company that puts the roof on is responsible for the roof. And what happens if there is, God forbid, a roof leak and it causes interior damage? Is the owner responsible for that, or are the roofers responsible for it, the company?
You know, it really depends on what company that you go with. So with Roofworks, if you went with us and you do have a great warranty, not just from us but from the manufacturer. But if something workmanship related that we did wrong, we're going to certainly take care of the interior repairs.
And question number
That's
two.
Not always the case. I think that really depends on, you know, who you're signing up with. So just make sure that you ask those questions on the front end.
Question number two. Can you explain to the viewers out there why gutters versus narrow gutters, and also the importance of gutters when it comes to the foundation of the house. That God forbid that the roof, that the gutters overflow and everything, and what kind of damage that that can cause to the foundation of the house?
Oh yeah, definitely. So as far as the proper sizing of the gutter system itself, it really depends on the pitch of the roof. So with a steeper pitch, you're going to want a wider gutter, which we typically would put a 6-inch gutter on.
Yeah.
If the roof isn't quite as steep, you're okay going with a 5-inch gutter, but we always recommend going with 3x4 downspouts, because that way it can carry that water down from the roof through the gutter system. And then obviously with the downspouts, you want to make sure that you keep that water away from the foundation. So having the extension pieces on to divert that water in a place where it's not going to erode the foundation, that's very, very important.
And another one, if I can, if it's okay, Alexander the Great.
Yeah, you go ahead.
Yeah. Holly, with springtime coming up, can you recommend some things that people might do concerning their gutters and the roof and just checking the things and everything, especially with the spring rains and summer rains coming and everything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, the gutters, the first and foremost is keep those gutters cleaned out, because if the gutters get clogged up, it can cause a lot of issues. That water backs up onto the roof system, which in turn can create rot and deterioration along the eaves. It will rot your fascia out. If you have debris on the roof in, you know, bad areas like dead valleys, all of that debris, it's not getting washed out. It's just sitting there, so that moisture is also creating a lot of problems for that plywood sheathing underneath. So that's the first thing, is keep that roof system clean. And then get the roof inspected. Have us come out, take a look at everything, if there's any repairs that are needed. Those are the kind of things that you're being proactive instead of reactive, and you can get in front of any potential issues that you're going to have to eliminate all those interior repairs from that pop up with roof leaks that come unexpectedly.
Thank you. You're the best. Your Majesty, I hope you have a great day in your kingdom, and I hope you have a fantastic Friday upcoming.
Jim, do you want to hang on for the rest of the show? Because I, you know, every now and then I run out of roofing questions.
She's number one and everything. She's got more fans on this street and everything. They did our street, and the adjoining street was done by a competing company. Believe me, we're a lot happier than that street is over from us that had the competing company come with it. Roofworks is just the best, and I'm probably Holly's number one fan. So
that's pretty awesome. Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah. All right. Take care, Jim.
Everybody have a great weekend, okay?
And you too.
Maybe we'll get to warm weather for the Super Bowl tomorrow.
I sure hope so.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Thank you, Jim. Game time, where the game is being played, is going to be like 75 after an 80-degree day. They're going to have beautiful weather for a football game. And we're going to have beautiful weather here. But the rest of the week, turns out, I can see it up to Wednesday. I can see the forecast up to Wednesday. We're talking either rain or showers. You know how the forecast of the National Weather Service, they say chance of rain, and then sometimes they say chance of rain followed by showers and a chance of rain.
Yeah, looks like we got quite a bit coming through the pipeline, and it's going to be cold. So that's kind of the worst two combinations, cold and rainy.
So we'll identify all roof leaks, and we'll call Roofworks accordingly.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, this is the time of the year. We're coming up on spring, so a lot of people get their roofs replaced. But go ahead and give us a call. Let us come out and let you know exactly what you need. We're not going to sell you something that you don't. But right. Just hopefully get in front of it before you do have a problem.
I want to talk about older homes versus newer homes and the fascia and soffit. Two parts of the only two parts of the roof system that I can pronounce, the fascia and the soffit. And the whole point is there's been a change over a certain period of time. It used to be all wood, and now not so much. We're going to talk about that coming up next. Holly Bowers from Roofworks is here if you want to call up with any questions of your own. 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783 at 92.9 107.5 at 680 WPTF. Making your home great on WPTF, that's 92.9 107.5 and 680 WPTF. I'm Dave Alexander, and here is Holly Bowers from RoofWorks. I talk about the fascia and the soffit. Now, I don't know which one is the other one. Yeah, I don't know which one. But your roof ends, and then there's a horizontal piece. It's level with the ground, right? And it ends the roof. And then there's another piece. Well, no.
So you have your
vertical
rake
piece and then a horizontal piece.
Yeah, so you had the rake boards on the ends of the house. And then
all right.
The eave is where that's the one that the gutter is attached to.
Okay, if I sit on my porch.
That's your fascia. And then the soffit is the underside of that area.
Okay.
So if you're looking up, you're seeing the soffit.
Okay. Both of those used to be made of wood. I know this because I've seen so many houses where it is rotted away. And if you don't do door knocking, but I can tell you the neighborhood near me where you could see there's lots of work to be done, but people don't have the money for it.
It's expensive. That's why we say clean your gutters so you don't have to go through that problem.
Is that really the basic problem? Either you have no gutters or you don't have clean gutters?
Yeah, that and, you know, not having drip edge too is another cause for that. So it's quite a few different things. But most of the time it's, you know, if it's super old and it's masonite or some materials, products they don't make anymore, you're going to have issues with it. But fiber cement is a much better product now, which is hardy. That's what everybody calls it. But you can do that, or you can do PVC, which PVC is an awesome product. That's a rot-free product.
Right.
So if you replace your fascia, talk to your contractor about putting PVC up. Do you have vinyl?
I do have vinyl,
Or metal. Do you have aluminum fascia then?
I think I do, yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because we do a lot of repairs on that, and especially when you see like the wind. If it's not attached properly, you're seeing a lot of fascia hanging off these buildings or homes.
Oh, yeah.
So we can go in and fabricate custom pieces of that aluminum fascia and reinstall that for you.
And so just because one area is affected doesn't mean we have to do the whole house.
That's right. So it really depends. It's case-by-case scenario. So it just depends on how damaged it is. But we'll come out, we'll assess it, and if it needs to be replaced, we can replace it. If it needs to be repaired, we can repair it. Same thing with soffit as well. Rake boards, fascia boards, soffit.
Is it easy or is it obvious when you've got aluminum clad there to identify the wood rot underneath?
No, you can't really see that if we call that subfascia, so you can't see that unless the aluminum's, you know, if it's fallen off.
Has come
off. You have to remove it to see what's going on behind it.
Oh, my.
But a lot of times if you have really, really rotten fascia, especially with wood fascia, most of the time you're probably going to have some subfascia that needs to be replaced too, but those aren't visible to the eye unless it's just down. So that's why we always have to say, let us get the products removed and then we can see what's going on behind it. That's the same thing with plywood sheathing. You can't really see the decking until you remove the products from the roof.
Right. And you describe the physical situation of high-pitched roofs causing people to require themselves to buy wider channels for the gutters.
To get a wider gutter. So just because, think about it, it's a very steep pitch, so you have a lot of water shedding off that roof system.
Right.
And if you have a bigger gutter, it's going to catch that water flow, so it's not so much intensity coming off the roof. The pro to a really steep pitch roof is that you're probably not going to get as many leaks because that water's shedding so fast.
Okay.
So when you see flat roofs, for instance, you see a lot of water issues on flat roofs because that water doesn't really have anywhere to go.
Oh, yeah.
Versus a really steep pitch like a 12-12, 14-12, it's hard because that water does not sit on that roof.
Right.
So you're really kind of protected a little bit more.
Now, homeowners who have companies, that is, they bought a building, has got a flat roof, your company does this.
Oh, yeah. We do lots and lots of work, repair and maintenance programs, full replacements. We can do coatings. We have a lot of great options for anyone that has it. It doesn't matter if it's business related or if it's, you know, residential flat roof. A lot of times you see porch additions that have low slope roof systems on it. We can certainly find some good products and good solutions for you there, too.
And if you have added on maybe a porch or an attic room, and it turns out that just by geography, you've got, you know, you're fitting the roof underneath the existing roof, and it's, in order to have livable space, you have almost a flat roof. A lot of people, if they're doing it themselves, they're just going to go ahead and put asphalt shingles on.
Yeah, and it's very important that you put the right kind of roof system on the right pitch. So that's something that you're going to want to consult with a good contractor to come out there and just verify what that pitch is, because you're putting shingles on it, there's things that are required. It's just never, we never recommend putting shingles on a low slope pitch.
Low slope pitch, that's, and you've right. got to measure it. You can, you know, it's not like I could, probably Brock or yourself, you could tell me the numbers. They won't mean anything
to
us.
And that's, we see a lot of problems with additions. I feel like we've talked about this before, but a lot of times where it ties into the existing roof system,
yeah.
if you've got a low slope tying into a steep slope, there's a lot of transitional areas that need to be addressed properly. So it's just, it's some complicated situations that you really want to call someone that you can trust that's going to lead you in the right direction.
Brock has got a story about his, about your company coming out, you know, somebody from your company coming out to examine his house. He found out something he didn't have. He didn't know it at all. And we'll have him relay that when he arrives in just a few minutes. Brock Emmons is going to be on from Triangle Radiant Barrier in a little bit. Also, Jeff Hastings in our second hour. Holly Bowers from RoofWorks is here. You want to call her up? 919-860-9783. It is not required that you refer to her as Your Majesty.
No.
If you want to use her correct title, it's Vice President in Charge of Operations and anything that goes on. And the phone's ringing, so that's a good thing. Holly, talk to me about the rest of the things, the kind of roof systems that your company will do.
Yeah, so we just touched on low slope roof systems. Right. We do all types of roofs. We do tile, slate, metal, cedar, any type of shingle that you want. We can do coatings. We can do full membrane replacement. So we have a ton of different options.
Slate roofs.
We can do synthetics, which is... Synthetic is another option to go with a slate or tile roof system or cedar.
Yeah.
It's a different type of product, and typically if people, you want that option. If you want the look of slate, there are shingles that look like slate, but also synthetic products are also made to look like slate and tile and cedar. So it, with a slate roof, a real slate roof, your house has to be engineered correctly to carry that weight of slate.
Yeah.
If you don't want to go through that process of getting it re-engineered and reframed, that's where synthetics come in, because it's another good option for you to get the look for less.
All right, that's good. Chris in Raleigh is with us. Chris, we're about a minute and a half away from our news, but that just means that it's possible that you get your question on and then, you know, Holly answers after the news. How you doing, Chris?
I'm good, thank you. I'm listening to your show, as always, enjoying it.
Thank you.
And I have a couple quick questions on the roof.
Yes.
When we lived in Florida, we're now in Raleigh, which I love, in a new home. And in Florida, a lot of the people did not have gutters. We did.
Yeah.
But I was listening to you say that there is a lot of upkeep with the gutters. But what are the pros and cons? Can you explain that to me as far as gutters or no gutters?
You know, a lot of it depends on the topography of your house, too. So we always recommend a gutter system, because the most important thing is it gets that water away from the foundation so it doesn't erode the foundation around the house. If as far as the maintenance goes, you have options with gutters to put leaf protection on, or gutter guards is what we call them.
Yeah.
So if you're in a house that has – do you have a lot of tree coverage around?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So you would be a very good candidate for gutter protection. It really depends on what type of gutter protection that you put, depending on what type of trees you have.
Okay, Chris, can you hold on just a moment?
Yes.
Very good. Holly Bowers from RoofWorks is here. We are on Making Your Home Great, 92.9 FM, 107.5 and 680 WPTF. Making Your Home Great on WPTF 92.9 at 107.5 on the FM dial and 680 WPTF AM. Holly Bowers of Roofworks joins us, and we're talking with Chris from Raleigh. Now, Chris mentioned that when Chris was in Florida,
yeah,
she saw no gutters. Is that correct, Chris?
Well, some of the homes did have gutters and some didn't.
Some didn't.
And they were very high-pitched roofs, a lot of them. So I wasn't sure if it was necessary or not, but Holly just explained about the foundation and the runoff
right.
when it rained.
Yeah, and I think the soil is a bit different down there, and also the rainstorms kind of come in spurts more than they do here. And I'm not sure if you mm-hmm. have quite as much rain as we have up here, but there's probably a few different reasons regionally why that's not as common as it is here. But here, it's definitely something that you want to do. The other pro to gutters is, depending on the size of your overhangs, like for instance, on the back of your house, if you've got a small overhang area and you've got that water runoff without gutters,
yeah.
that water tends to come back towards the house. So you see a lot of rotten door frames and thresholds and things of that sort. That's not having gutters can cause all of those issues as well. So it's the best thing to do is get that gutter system put up, maintain it for you. Probably gutter guards is going to be a good thing. And then really, it'd be great to have us come out and talk to you, walk around the house, and we'll kind of explain what you have to see if there's any improvements that need to be made, and also give you some really good suggestions that are going to help you long term so that you're much more educated and familiar with your gutter system.
And Brock probably will suggest that gutter should end in French drains. To get the water away from your house, in a lot of cases.
Yeah, depending on the situation. But that's why I said, give us a call and let us come out and take a look at what you have. And then we'll certainly be able to get you set up with the right options, depending on what your system is now currently.
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you for the information. I will follow up with it. And congratulations to you, Holly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So if you want to call us, it's at 919-852-2660. You can also go on our website and put in an estimate request online at roofwerks.com. And our team will give you a call. We'll get Seth out there. Seth is great. He's our gutter manager, and he'll help you through this whole process.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Very helpful.
You are welcome.
Thank you, Chris. Okay.
Thank you. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
I just wanted to marvel at the fact that Roofworks has a gutter manager. Yeah, look at that. This is a professional outfit. They're not some fly-by-night people. How long have you been around?
Right. I'm very impressed, and I look forward to their help. That'd be wonderful.
Excellent. Chris, thank you. Holly, how long has Roofworks been around?
Well, it's coming up on 19 years since 2006.
That's great. So, you know, you're planning, of course, and nobody can predict, but you're planning to be around for another 20 or 40 or 50 whenever.
We're building a legacy is definitely what we're doing.
That's terrific.
It's really, really exciting.
All right. Just to be clear to everybody, Chris and everybody, if you're looking it up on the web, Works. We know that it's typically spelled with an O. In Roofworks, it's spelled with an E. The second half of that word, Roofworks, has an E. You'll figure it out as soon as you start typing. Roofworks Raleigh. And you're not a chain, right? You don't have offices in Atlanta.
No, we're not franchised at all. So that's what's so special about us. We're just very unique, and we stick to who we are, and we don't want to be like anybody else. And
right.
We've got some really, really wonderful people that work there, and two awesome owners.
That's great. The question that came up a few weeks ago here on the show when you weren't here. Was somebody had a leaky double wide. Now, that's a flat roof.
Yeah. We tell them to call us. We can certainly help them out.
Really?
Yeah. A roof is a roof. So we'll get out there. If we can't, we'll tell them that we can't. But I don't see any reason why we couldn't help them.
Oh, wow. Okay. Because I'm, you know, I'm, of course, I'm thinking, you know, little job. It's a really little job, but you go ahead and do it.
Yeah. I mean, and like I said, if we can't, we'll certainly give them the best advice we can. But I don't say, I mean, if they have shingles or metal or anything like that, we can help them out.
And that's some sort of membrane.
Yeah.
That's, on the double wide.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we do every single day.
Every single day. They're out there. And I imagine that some things on the periphery of the roofing universe are rarer. Things like copper flashing, but you do it.
Yeah, and a lot of that you see on the higher end roofs.
Yes.
Like slate tile, the higher end shingles. Yes, but we can do copper. Copper is amazing. We talk about that, how beautiful it is, and it is really a lifelong lasting product too.
And you mentioned the slate. I can't hire just anybody to put slate on.
No. That's a very special niche there.
Wow. And even to replace it, you're taking, am I correct, the original slate off?
You are, and depending on what kind, it was slate and tile, it just depends on what product you have on there originally. If it's
right.
If it's a really good product, that could last 100 plus years. So
wow.
That's something that we can evaluate and tell you what it's worth, and we can always take it off and stack it up. And most of the time you're just fixing the underlayment system on that, and then if it is good slate or tile, you can reinstall it and put it back together.
And if somebody has moss on the roof, clearly they should call you anyway. But what's going on there?
Most of the time, it's probably just where the sun's facing the roof.
Right.
That's when you're seeing that algae build up, because you're not getting as much sun there. It could be trees that are in the way that are kind of clouding that area.
Yeah.
But let us come out and evaluate it and see what needs to be done, and we can get you a good solution there.
That can eventually lift up the shingles, can it?
No, it's just, I mean,
no?
The algae growth on it, it's, you know, it... It doesn't look as good,
okay.
But there could be other things. I mean, you can put the zinc strips on the ridgeline,
yeah.
Which that zinc will wash that algae away. So there's some good options that you have for that.
All right. Now, let me stop somebody from doing something that would not be right. Now, I got a neighbor with a pressure washer, and he says, don't worry, Dave. There's a little bit of color thing going on in your roof. I'll just stand here in the driveway, and I will just spray it off.
No.
I will spray that, and I'll just do a great job under high pressure from the driveway. Is that a good idea?
No, you definitely don't want to spray up, because you're going to break the seals. So if you do that, the roof is destroyed at that point. You're going to have lots of problems. It's probably going to need to be replaced. So power washing, we don't always recommend power washing, just because a lot of times if you're trying to get the algae off the roof and you don't use the right product, it's going to grow back worse, and it'll actually grow back faster. So there's certain things that need to be looked at to see, you know, kind of where you are in the lifespan of that roof. Because if you do power wash and put that kind of pressure on that asphalt,
right.
It could break that asphalt down, which in turn is going to make that roof last less. So the lifespan's going to be cut short, and we don't want to do that either. So
anytime
those are case-by-case scenarios, and we need to look at each one to see what the best solution is for
anytime
him.
He's done this, those little white pebbles that are on the shingle, yeah, they're coming right off.
Yeah, that's the asphalt, and once you break that asphalt down, you're breaking the shingles down. So that's what happens. They just are going to deteriorate a lot faster than they probably need to.
All right. So keep the pressure washer away. In fact, anything above your house, anything above the second or third floor, whatever you've got, we call roof works.
Yeah, and that's why I said you can wash it, but you just have to know what you're doing, and you got to know if you're a good candidate for it. Not everybody is a good candidate for it, so
right.
We just treat that case-by-case scenario. Wes is great. He's our repair manager.
Yeah.
And he's great at looking at those situations to say, hey, this is what we recommend, or no, we really don't recommend this for you.
I just had a moment where I remembered that Brock noticed something about his house or had some problem, or roof works came out. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, well, a couple, actually. I've had a couple of problems.
Yeah. But you discovered that there was something with your house you didn't know.
Well, so the first issue that I had was a drainage issue on my back porch.
Right.
We have a porch that's it's essentially a flat roof, metal corrugated standing seam that comes right off of my back porch.
Right.
And where the porch connects to my house, after major rainstorms, I would get water coming down the seams between the porch and the area where it's mounted to the house. So right where you'd try to walk through the door,
yeah,
it's like walking through a small waterfall every time you had to walk in and out. And I got up there, and the flashing was fine, and I could not make sense of it. And it wasn't until RoofWorks came out there, and it turns out the person who built the porch originally did an internal built-in gutter, which was part of the framing of the roof. And
yeah,
it was a really cool design, but it was the RoofWorks tech that came out there, and he was like, dude, this is actually the whole outer perimeter here is a gutter. And the reason this is happening is there's a lot of sludge and stuff that is built up in the inside of it. So I had no idea. We found all the little weep holes around the gutter and had to unplug them, and all of a sudden all this nasty sludge started coming out. So it was nice to have somebody with enough experience that it only took him a few minutes to figure out what I had not figured out, and 12 times going up there. So that was a bonus.
And you've been in construction and in roofing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for years and years.
Yeah, I don't have a lot of experience with corrugated metal roofs with built-in gutters. I didn't even know that those existed. But luckily for me, that tech was like, man, I've seen these a couple of times before, so I think I know what it is.
Yeah, so that inlay gutter system, and I mean, you obviously have a nice older house, and you see that a lot in high-end homes. So we can... There's a lot that we can do with those existing gutter systems.
Right.
A lot of times they need to be coated, and like he said, just maintained, cleaned out. Fasteners need to be redone. So if you do have an inlay gutter system, we can call us because we can certainly help you out.
All right. Holly, when we get to the point where you're telling, like we've had RoofWorks out to my house, and then, you know, they tell the story of what they found. I want you to use the phrase high-end houses. We find that a lot. You know, we find this a lot. In fact, you guys should, you know, when you visit somebody's house, whatever you find, you just say, I find that a lot in high-end houses.
This
you
is
know,
a problem think, with beautiful people and high-end
yes.
homes.
Well,
absolutely.
I think it's more, and for me, I came from a custom background
right.
with custom
yeah.
builders, and you don't see that as much anymore. I wish we did see it more often, but those are the kind of things that you get, those special things that are, they're great, but you don't see it typically in your everyday house.
All right. Holly Bowers from RoofWorks this year. Brock Hemmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. I'm Dave Alexander. This is Making Your Home Great, 92.9, 107.5, and 680 WPTF. Making Your Home Great on WPTF, 92.9, 107.5, and 680 on the AM dial. Holly Bowers from RoofWorks is here for another couple of minutes. You want to call her, 919-860-9783. Brock Hemmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier is here, and in a little bit, Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers. Okay, so, Brock, you get up into an attic, and you realize there's not enough airflow, and you want to put a fan in. Who do you call?
Well, it depends on the fan, you
okay.
know. We do solar attic fans.
Yes.
There's a lot of other companies out there that also install electric outer attic fans.
Yeah.
So I normally start off by trying to address the customer's concern. As a matter
right.
of fact, we had one of these yesterday. One of the companies that we work with is redoing some of the flashing on their roof, and they found an electric fan. The homeowner wanted them to replace it, and they reached out to us to come out and have a conversation with the homeowner just to discuss the options.
Yeah.
Now, this homeowner has a hip roof, which is kind of like a pyramid.
Right.
Very, very small ridge vent.
Yeah.
And they had an electric fan up there to improve the ventilation. And I asked him, the homeowner, I said, what is your reasoning behind replacing it? What kind of problem are you trying to prevent here? And for good reason. He said, man, it gets hot up here. I think we temped it last summer. It got up to 145. We want that to cool down so it helps the rooms below it. And I said, okay, so this is for energy efficiency.
Yeah.
He said, yeah, yeah. And I said, okay, do we want to use an electric fan that uses electricity to cool off an attic to save on electricity? Or do you want to maybe go with a solar fan that uses no electricity so you maximize your savings? And he was like, oh, well, when you put it like that,
yeah.
Well, these electric fans are pretty good, right? And I said, well, they last about 6 to 8 years. How old is yours? He said, 6 years. And I said, right.
Yeah.
The solar fans are a 25-year warranty. So you're going to spend a few $100 more, but you're not going to replace it again.
Right.
And it's not going to be counterproductive.
Right.
Now, had he told me the only reason I want the fan up there is we put, you know, certain items up there and I want to try to keep the attic as cool as possible. If energy is not a concern to you, you can go with electric or solar.
Yeah.
But again, I want to address the customer's concern.
Who do you trust on the roof?
It's RoofWorks.
RoofWorks.
I don't have my guys up there. I love my guys, and they're talented in an attic, but I know as soon as I put them on a roof, I'm going to get a phone call. Hey, he fell in the bushes.
You know,
we're not insured to be up there. You don't want my guys putting holes in roofs. These guys are insured to be up there. They know what they're doing. They flash it properly with ice and water shield to help prevent from leaks, and they warranty their work. So why not? I'd rather bring out the pros.
And if you're going to cut into a roof, you better know what you're doing, right, Holly?
That's right. Anytime you're adding a penetration, it definitely needs to be watertight.
And a sunroof or a sun...
Yeah, skylight.
Skylight, thank you.
Tunnel, anything like that. Brock made a great point about the electric fans, though, because the problem a lot of homeowners don't realize is they don't last that long.
No.
And sometimes it takes years for you to realize that fan is not operating. And so, in turn, all these years that go by that you're not getting proper ventilation, and not only doesn't help your electric bill, but it also breaks the roof down faster because the roof is getting hotter. So those are things, if you have a fan, if you're in doubt, call, because that's something that needs to be inspected as well.
Yeah.
Because they burn out. They really do.
One of the first callers today asked about warranty. The reason we all want to get enough out of the products we buy, and if there's a warranty offered, well, we want as much out of the warranty as we can get, because there's no such thing as a free lunch. That warranty somehow is built into my price. So
you never know when you're going to need it.
No, you never.
You never think about you want the warranty, but you're never prepared until something catastrophic happens. And they're like, oh, don't worry, you're under warranty. There's no better words in the world to hear than that.
And in order to qualify, don't I have to maintain a certain temperature somehow in the attic?
So there's a lot of different stipulations. It depends on the warranty that you get.
Right.
That's number one, because if you're just getting your basic warranty, you're limited with what that covers.
Right.
So if you get like an enhanced warranty like we give for CertainTeed, the roofing company has to be certified. That's most important to even get that warranty.
Right.
You can't have anybody else on your roof doing work after the fact if they're not certified, because they will void the warranty.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize that. And then the other thing is the workmanship warranty, whether that's being provided by the manufacturer or the contractor. A contractor workmanship warranty is only as good as that contractor. So if they go out of business in 2 years, they gave you a 10-year workmanship warranty and they're nowhere to be found, you really don't have a warranty. So those things, like Brock said, it's not an issue until it becomes an issue. And then you realize you have problems and you can't get a hold of the contractor. You don't know what kind of warranty you have with the manufacturer. So that's stuff that really needs to be communicated up front so you understand what you're signing up for.
Yep. We're dealing with a major warranty issue this week.
Yeah.
I just bought, and Holly knows what I'm talking about here, I just bought a brand new Ram Cummings 2500 diesel truck.
Yeah.
It's got 11,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Blew the transmission.
No way.
No towing. We have not towed anything in that truck that is for upper management.
Yeah.
And
you just drove it.
Started it, tried to put it in drive, and the transmission was gone. Now, luckily for us, Ram said, don't worry, it's under warranty. We're going to get that pulled out and replaced for you.
That's good.
And then I'm going to get rid of it and have to figure out what's the next truck I'm going to go after.
Because it's now What? It's spooked.
Well, I've never seen a truck that's blown a transmission in 14,000 miles without towing before, especially on a $70,000 truck, so no. So, but the warranty saved our life on that.
Yes, it did.
Had we not had it, there's a $12,000 transmission, and then we sell it anyway. So get the warranty. They will save your life when you need it the most.
100%. I do want to say something. We are we are continuing our discount on residential roof replacements throughout the end of March 31st. So if you do need your roof replaced, we're giving you 5% up to $750 off your roof. Oh. We just need to make sure that you're paying with a check and not credit card. So that's the big thing. If you are in need of a roof replacement, we can get you a good discount right now. So give us a call.
I have to pay with a check.
That's right.
Rather than, you don't want an envelope full of cash.
Or just, you know, just don't use your credit card.
I'll take an envelope full of cash.
I have a silver suitcase with cash in it. I just draw out. I don't know what's
Samsonite.
In it. Samsonite. Yeah, silver thing.
And we just want to help. We know, you know, times are tight right now, so that's just our way of giving back.
Good for you. Okay, Holly, how do we get in touch with you and your company and RoofWorks?
Okay, give us a call at 919-852-2660 or reach us on the web at roofwerks.com.
RoofWorks, thank you very much.
You are
Holly
welcome.
Holly Bowers from RoofWerks. Next hour, I understand Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers is going to be here. Brock's going to be here for a while. You got a question for him? Call us up during the show. Making your home great on WPTF. .929 1075 and 680 WPTF. Making your home great on the radio with Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers. And Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. You cannot catch my cold, gentlemen. I'm just telling you, you can't. My doctor has assured me you're perfectly safe. 92.9 FM, 107.5.
As I start coughing just a little bit already.
Thank you. People see me and they're like, Dave, can I catch what you're... No. My doctor said no. And I tested negative for everything that's bad. That's all I'm saying. So we're going to give away a Cape Fear Seafood Company gift certificate, $25, to the first caller at 919-860-9783. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. How are things in the hardware business?
That's good. Now that we've gotten the two snowmageddons behind us, and now that we have a couple of 70-degree days, everybody and the brother thinks that it's time to plant vegetables.
I was just going to ask that. I bet you there's a lot of people who are like, time for tomatoes.
Oh, yeah. We get those phone calls
it's
already.
It's not really.
It is not really. But those and the problem becomes everybody thinks that we, as a retailer, can snap our fingers and immediately we have vegetable plants.
Yeah.
But those people that we buy the plants from, the wholesalers, you know, they're not looking at a 70-degree day in February and thinking, oh, we have tomatoes ready to go.
Yeah.
They're on a schedule.
Right.
And if you look in North Carolina, the last frost date is April 15th, tax day.
Yes.
So they're gearing their calendars towards that sort of stuff. Now, we'll have some cabbage, kale, collards, lettuce, Swiss chard, some of the cold crops that I'm probably missing one or two, but we'll have those start coming in the next couple of weeks, and we'll start. We've got onions coming in this week. Onions coming in next week.
Yeah.
And seed potatoes are coming in this week. So
now I was asking Jeff some questions, you know, in the commercial break, as we've been instructed not to do.
Yeah. But
I told Jeff that I've got a couple of cherry trees at my house that have unfortunately apparently come down with some sort of fungus or you know, that's growing on the trees and actually preventing them.
That's what I have. Yeah. I have the cherry fungus.
Yeah, it's the cherry fungus.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to end up having to remove them. And I was asking Jeff, we want to replace those with some apple trees. So he was giving me advice on what he thought would be best. Now, if I'm to plant these apple trees, what time of year is a good time of year to plant apples?
Well, the truth of the matter is the best time to plant any trees is fall.
Is fall.
However, you know, most of us, and I'm guilty as well. I noticed this year, as we were talking about it, I've got two plum trees.
Yeah.
And I didn't notice it in the fall, but we have, in one of them, we have a really big gall issue.
Mm.
And so I don't want that to spread to anything else. So we're cutting that down this coming week. We will come in and replant with something. We're not going back with a plum tree, but we'll go back with something, another fruit tree. But I would say March, April, May is the best time. You certainly want to give it a good 60 to 90 day period before the real heat of the summer sets in.
Right.
So that you get a good, really, really good root development going on.
And do you water regularly during that period of time?
Yeah, you want to water at least an inch a week in making sure that they're set in.
We get that naturally here.
Well,
at that time of year. Typically.
Right, right. Well, this coming week, we certainly are going to get that.
Yeah.
But the biggest key is making sure that when you plant them, that you plant properly. And so what happens is a lot of people will take, they'll go somewhere to a nursery or whatnot, and they'll buy this plant, and it's in a 5-gallon, 3-gallon container.
Right. Yeah.
And they'll dig a hole that's a little bit larger, and they might throw some black cow or a little bit of fertilizer in there.
Yeah.
And they'll take the tree, and they'll lift it out of the pot, and they'll put it directly into that ground.
Yes.
That's what I've done in the past,
And that's absolutely wrong.
Oh, well, here, slap my wrist. My wrist, Dave.
The reason being is plants in nature, what they do is the roots grow out horizontally.
Yeah.
When those roots hit a barrier, they then turn clockwise until they hit another barrier, and then they turn clockwise again until they hit another barrier, and then they go down. And so what happens is the roots, if you look at it in that pot, the roots are in a circular fashion.
Right.
You get what's called a girdling root. And so the area when you put that plant in, those roots are still trying to do the same thing that they've been doing in that pot for the last 2 to 3 years. And so the roots are going to go down and out just a little bit. But that area directly under the plant has this root mass that can never get watered. And so you're going to starve it at some point in time. So what you do is you want to, when you take the plant out of the pot, you want to take like a razor knife or whatnot and just slash, you know, vertical lines in the soil to slash the roots. And all you're doing, you're not hurting anything, but what you're doing is you're causing a disruption in the root system to reestablish that root system to then grow out versus down.
So you're talking about when I'm holding the tree with my right hand and it's got the, you know, all the 5 gallons of dirt.
Right, right.
Take a knife and run vertically.
Run it vertically down.
About every 2 to 3 inches.
That's right.
All the way around.
That's right.
And then set it down like I normally would have, and I can fill it in with fertilizer.
That's right.
Okay.
And you can go in, you know, at the bottom of that root ball area, the bottom of the pot area. You can go in and disrupt the dirt, the soil. I say dirt. I hate using that. You can disrupt the soil level.
Yeah, we don't want to say dirt because that can be interpreted as, you know, inappropriate.
Well,
we try to be woke around here. You know?
Well, no, dirt is what you sweep off your kitchen room floor. It's not what you plant plants in.
That's, soil wants to be called soil.
Yeah, well, everybody
comes. That's how it identifies.
People come in the store all the time. They say, okay, I need some dirt. And I said, it's in the dumpster out back. you plant in soil. You don't plant in dirt.
Okay, all right.
So that's just sort of one of my pet peeves. But
drill or auger or dig that hole a whole lot larger than the root ball?
Yes, you want to be about twice the size of that root ball.
Oh, yeah.
And the reason being is what you're trying to do is you're trying to give it the most hospitable environment that you can.
Right.
And so you're going to backfill with a soil conditioner, some black cow, some decent topsoil, maybe some outdoor rated potting soil.
Yeah.
So that you then have you're giving the plant the best chance of survival that you can.
Okay.
We've got Millie in North Raleigh on the radio. Millie, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Speak up nice and loudly and nice and clearly. What can we do for you today?
I'd like to know if he has fertilizer and lime that he could recommend for fig trees.
What kind of fertilizer?
For a fig tree?
Yeah.
So there's certainly you want to do a soil test a little bit for your fig tree. I don't know right offhand what – I can't remember right offhand what figs want, but I could look it up if you want to call the store and let me know. I can look up what the pH range needs to be for a fig tree. But there's a great product made by Espoma that's a fruit and nut tree fertilizer. It's a slow release. It's all organic. It's going to last for about 90 to 120 days. And it's impossible, well, maybe not impossible, but it's really hard to overdo it because it's an organic. So it's going to be rich in blood meal, a slow-release nitrogen source. It's also going to have phosphorus, which is critical for the root and fruit development. But Espoma makes a great product. It's a fruit and nut tree.
And you sell this at your own store?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How do you know all this? I've got Millie, but hang on, Millie. I need to know this. How do you know this?
35 years of doing it.
Okay.
And it's an absolute passion of mine. I mean, my front yard, you know, the house, and a lot of listeners that might have remembered, our house that we lived in burned down in 2022.
Right.
Yes.
My front yard is about a third of an acre of nothing but perennials. And, you know, if you ask my wife what I'm doing on a Saturday, it's not working in the house. I'm outside every single Saturday and Sunday that I'm not working. And it's just a passion. And, you know, I fully believe that no matter how old you are, your mind is still a sponge and you're looking and learning. And I don't mind reaching out. You know, Tony Avent, who long time, he has a garden, sort of a great garden area down in Willow Springs area. Yes. But he did a lot of stuff at the fairgrounds. And so I tuned in a lot to what he had to say. And any time that somebody's around that knows more than I do, I'm always talking and asking. Because, you know, all I want people to do is have gorgeous yards and gorgeous scenery around their property. Because that curb appeal to me just makes you feel good.
Right.
And you wonder, how does someone who owns a hardware store know this? He's also, you have a pretty extensive educational background in this category.
Yeah, I went to NC State for a botany. And so that's, you know, my love of plants started early on. So
the closest you could come to owning a botany store was owning a hardware store.
That's right, because we increased our, and that's one of the things, one of the passions that I did is when I bought the store, we increased our garden center area and totally redid it, and we're expanding it even more this year to offer some more pottery and offer some fountainware and statuary possibly. So,
Jeff's Place is where my wife and I get our fertilizer. His guys are always very helpful and know exactly what we're looking for.
Millie, do you have more to ask?
No, but I certainly appreciate that. I have a habit of over-fertilizing.
All right.
Yeah, well, come by. You know, I'm there just about every day. I was there this morning, you know, all week. And so come by to see me and just ask for Jeff, and I'll be happy to walk you through anything you need to know or anything you want to know.
And Millie, you are not going to have any trouble either finding Jeff or finding somebody who knows exactly where Jeff is, because you will be greeted no matter which door you use to get into the store. They will greet you. And you just say, "Where's Jeff?"
Okay.
I've got a Cape Fear seafood gift certificate for $25. I have eaten there. I would suggest the seafood. That's just me.
I like the burger. Their burger is really good.
I had their, what is it, chowder. Their chowder. Yep. And I can tell you, Millie, it's worth it. And with $25 gift certificate, you can get a lot of chowder.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've got a place in Cameron in the Village District, right?
That's exactly right. We've
eaten there several times. It's wonderful.
It is. It's good
talking about things you can't cut. You don't use the word dirt, you use soil.
That's right.
You don't use the word Cameron, you use the Village District.
That's right.
I'm trying to call everything by its correct name.
That's right.
Millie, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. We're back in just a moment with Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier and Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware on WPTF. FM 92.9, 107.5, and 680 WPTF. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware is here on Making Your Home Great, along with co-host Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. So what in this season, it's too early for me to put in plants. Is it probably a good idea for me to just pre-work the soil?
That's correct.
And get some peat moss or whatever.
Yeah. Right. And this week, you know, again, when you have some 70-degree days in February, everybody thinks the time to act is right now. And they're not necessarily wrong. This week we saw a lot of action with, like, pine bark mulch and hardwood mulch starting to get the areas around their perennial beds, around the trees, mulched in to prevent some of the early weeds from coming in. It's a great time. Middle of this month is a great time in the yard to put out a crabgrass preventer. You want to do that about February 14th?
Yeah.
Again, people that know me know I don't look at dates on the calendar. I look at events on the calendar. Yeah. And so Valentine's Day is a great time. Real close to the end, you want to put a crabgrass preventer out in your yard. It lasts about 90 days. And so you'll put it out about Valentine's Day, and then you'll also put it out around July 4th. Mm-hmm. And that'll give you a full season's control of crabgrass preventer. But the caution is you can't do that. You can't do that with most crabgrass preventers and plant grass. There is a specific crabgrass preventer that you can plant grass seed behind.
Right.
But you've got to know that ahead of time. We try to qualify the customer when they're buying something to make sure that when we see that at the register, that we say, are you planning on planting grass this spring?
Yeah.
And if the answer is yes, then we say, well, let's talk about this a little bit rather than just ringing them through the register and good luck and, you know. But we'll get some customers that invariably, and it's not their fault, but we'll get customers that walk up there and they'll have two bags of crabgrass preventer and they've got a 25-pound bag of fescue.
Yeah, yeah.
And so it's like we just want to make sure, look, what are you doing? And to give most people credit, what they do is they say, oh, well, the crabgrass preventer is for the front yard.
Oh, yeah.
The grass seed is for the backyard.
Yeah, good.
And we're like, okay, that's perfect. That's no problem. But invariably, we'll get somebody that doesn't know anything about it, and that's okay. Because you see crabgrass preventer, and you think that's there to prevent crabgrass and nothing else. And it's a pretty far-ranging weed preventer. So we just sit there and try to coach them and say, we don't want to take your money for the fescue right now until we educate you on what preventer.
If you were a grocery store and you had somebody come to the line with Carolina barbecue in a tub and then a jar of mayonnaise and a loaf of bread, you'd probably stop them.
Well, if we sold groceries at Burke Brothers, we would. We'd try to send them back to the barbecue sauce.
Yeah, barbecue sauce.
I'm going to stop you right there. Please go back to aisle 9.
Right. Yeah.
That's all right. No, I get it.
Clean up on aisle 9.
You mentioned grass seed.
Yes.
Is that at all a possibility now?
It is a possibility.
It is.
It's better done in the fall. However, you get these late season you get these snowfalls, and you get these 10-day periods where you go through, 5 days where we didn't get above freezing.
Yeah.
And if you planted late last year or if you had an older grass system that was susceptible, you're going to have some failures of the grass.
Yeah.
You're going to have some die out. And so, there are some it's okay to do it now.
Yeah.
You just have to be sort of cautious, and you have to take it into account what time of year it is and what your ability is to get it started and maintain it.
Right. Mm.
So if you you come in now and, I'd say, wait till after all the rain falls, or else if you plant grass this week, you'll end up down at the Neuse River or Falls River somewhere.
Just wash out.
That's right. Yeah.
You come in, after this week and you've got some issues or whatnot and some dead areas, if you rake out those dead areas and then come in with seed, lightly fertilized, certainly straw it over.
Oh, yeah.
And, make sure that you can water it there again, that 1 inch a week. You're going to be okay. The biggest threat that we have is every year the people that plant grass in the spring, school is out June 6th or 7th or 8th or whatnot.
Right. Yeah.
And then they go to the beach from the 7th to the 14th.
Okay.
And they don't have an irrigation system. Invariably, that week that they leave, it's 94 degrees, and it's no rain for 5 to 7 days. And that will kill your grass.
Okay.
So you just got to make sure that, you got to make sure that you're going to be prepared to make it last. And that's why we see in this area a lot of people are moving more towards warm season grasses versus the fescue grasses because right. they're more tolerant to handle that sort of stuff. And you don't want to plant that stuff until Mother's Day.
Right. Okay.
Okay. We can go into grasses and talk deeply about them and what time you put them in and whatnot. If your yard is essentially sandy colored right now, not the dirt.
Right.
But what is that?
That's probably a Bermuda or centipede.
Bermuda or centipede. Folks who come from different areas, mm-hmm. we have some weird things with our grasses. Listen, I just want to mention that Cape Fear Seafood Company uses the freshest possible ingredients. Millie's going to enjoy this. Millie, treat your sweetheart to Surf and Turf Special with grilled filet mignon and broiled lobster tail Wednesday through Sunday. Go to Cape Fear Seafood. com. She got a $25 gift certificate just for listening to this show. And now I'm hungry.
Yeah, me too.
It is lunchtime.
It is lunchtime.
Maybe next time we can get Cape Fear to bring us some food.
You know, yes.
It's an idea I can get behind.
Yeah.
Sampler. Great idea. All right. This is Making Your Home Great on WPTF. That's what I was thinking. We should talk about your hardware store on the radio. This is Making Your Home Great. Such a revolutionary concept. We bring people in who know what they're talking about, and then they talk about what they talk about because they're experts. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware. You have tens of thousands, maybe more than that, in individual items in your store. What's your SKU number up to this point?
It's about 70,000.
Yeah, so you have 70,000.
We have about 70,000 SKUs in the store. Now, it is cited because we have probably the largest, if not one of the largest, nut and bolt varieties in the store. So if you need a single 1032 screw and nut, fine.
Yes.
You're going to get the same attention that the person that's buying a $70 gallon of paint.
Yeah.
Because
that's good.
We don't look at it as just that single visit. We're looking at it as a relationship on how we can help make your home great.
Yeah.
You know, for the next 20 years. And so we want to make sure that your first visit is as good as the last visit. We get some people that'll come in and because of jobs or family or whatnot, they're selling their house and they're moving somewhere, you know, away where they're not going to come back to see us.
Yeah.
And invariably, they'll sit there and say, I left a note on my refrigerator that said, if you need anything, go to Burke Brothers because they will take care of you.
Yep.
And that to me is, you know, it tells me that we're doing something right.
And if you want somebody, if you ask them where something is or do you have something, if you want them to look at their phone, pause for 45 seconds or longer. And then tell you the aisle number. That's not Burke Brothers.
That is not Burke Brothers.
If you want somebody who knows how the product is used and will show you where it is, that's Burke Brothers.
That's right. And it more times than not, because I don't open the store. I work there, you know, I'll get there at 9 or so in the morning, but I'm also there until 10 or 11 o'clock at night. If you come by the store and there's a black Tahoe out front, I'm sitting there. It's certainly not a new Tahoe, but I'm there late at night, so I get there a little bit later in the morning, having to take care of the horses and the cows at the farm first. But invariably, when I walk in the door, somebody will be walking in with me, and I immediately, once I enter the door, you know, what can I help you find?
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, don't you need to get situated? I said, I don't get situated till you're helped. And once the customer's taken care of, I'll go put stuff back in the office. But, you know, if an employee – we've got two kids that have started with us in the last month that are at NC State.
Yes.
They're both great guys. And so we tell them, all I want you to do for the next 2 weeks is shadow one of the full-time folks.
Yeah.
And see how we do things.
Yep.
Because you'll see some of us that have been in the business for 30, 35 years, they'll ask about a product and is it, you know, they'll ask about, can I put this on concrete?
Yeah.
And invariably, every single one of us will sit there and say, wait a minute, let me look at the label.
Yeah.
And we will read the label for verification. We may think we know.
Sure.
But we're going to make sure that we have that right product in their hand the first time. And then we're going to try to make sure that, you know, if they're doing something with concrete,
yeah.
Do you have a roller, a brush? You know, do you have a cleaner to clean the concrete before you do this?
Yeah.
We want to make sure that when they leave, we're not really trying to grab their money.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that when they get to their house, that they've got everything they need to finish that project the first time.
Yeah. And along those lines, let me ask you something specific to my house, and then I'll give myself a Cape Fear Seafood gift certificate.
There you go.
I don't have an extra one, but I'll give it to me anyway. The patio came after the house.
Okay.
But before I moved in, so I don't know who put the patio in. It's kind of in a low spot. And what I'm noticing, not only in the patio, but sometimes in the driveway, small chips are coming off the cement.
Right.
And it's usually at a seam, right? But sometimes it's not. It's like a flake coming out in the middle of the field.
Right.
So what would happen? What is the problem that I'm noticing?
In all likelihood, well, there's two main issues that are going to happen there. First of all, is an improper curing of the concrete. It wasn't allowed to dry at a proper level over a proper time.
Okay.
So a lot of times people, they'll drive by construction sites and they'll see concrete put down and they'll see this layer of plastic sitting over the concrete.
Right.
And that's to maintain the moisture level, that the moisture is evaporating at the proper level and not too fast. Because if it evaporates off the top part, but then not the middle part,
yeah,
that water's got to go somewhere. The other thing that is a lot more likely in this part of the world is people that have had an ice event,
yeah,
and they'll come in with an ice melter.
Oh, yeah.
And it's one of the things that I preach. You can buy, and we had a couple of customers that came in frustrated with us this last couple of weeks because they thought our ice melt was too expensive.
Oh.
And what I try to preach to people is there are two types of ice melt. There's one that has sodium chloride, which is nothing but table salt.
Right. Right.
There's another one that's magnesium based. Right. And the rock salt, just like you used in ice cream freezers when you were growing up,
yeah,
that rock salt is completely detrimental to your concrete. And it will cause that flaking immediately because everybody uses, and myself probably included, everybody uses way too much ice melt in those events than they really need.
Sure.
So, but if it's a potassium chloride, it's going to eat your concrete up. A magnesium chloride is slower to harm the concrete, and it's going to wash away a little bit better.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that's what we sell. I will not carry the sodium chloride in my store. Because of the damage it can create later on.
The rock salt.
The rock salt, yeah. So, you know, the best thing is get somebody out there that knows concrete.
Right.
And, you know, or if somebody out there has some pictures that they wanted to send to the store,
yeah,
we can help in that, you know, but without seeing it.
Right.
You know, there's some patching that you can do, but sometimes it's easy, sometimes it gets a little more invasive.
Yeah. I'm less worried about the individual spots as I am with what's going to happen over the next 10 years. If it's improperly cured, it's going to keep happening.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, you know, going back to the ice melt product.
Yeah.
What I recommend to people is once the ice event is over with,
yeah,
take your hose out and hose down and rinse off any concrete areas that had any ice melt product, regardless of who made it.
That's right.
Hose it off and you know, get rid of it off your concrete.
The funny thing is, for folks who just moved to this area, let me almost guarantee you something. As soon as the snow is done, within at least a week, you will have a day far above freezing. I mean, you'll get a 60 degree day.
Also, yeah, you'll be in shorts 3 days after it snows. Right. I mean, that's welcome to North Carolina. You know, the old adage, if you don't like the weather, stick around for 10 minutes. It's going to change.
Wait, do you sell snow movers or snow shovels?
We do.
Good.
Although in North Carolina, truth of the matter is, we don't get snow events as much as we get ice events. And meaning, even when it snows a little bit, but then that night it gets down to, you know, 22 degrees. Yeah. All of that snow has then become ice.
Yes.
Because it melted during the day. So I tell people the best thing to do is just get a regular flat-bladed shovel.
Yeah.
Because that a snow shovel is not going to break up the ice. A flat-headed shovel, you can actually get under the ice and be able to break it up.
Like a coal shovel.
That's right. Or just a regular garden shovel. A garden flat, you know, you've got round point shovels, and then you've got flat, and just a flat shovel for $20, $25.
Yep. Right.
And that'll far do a better job than a regular snow shovel will in the events that we get in North Carolina.
Right. And in North Carolina, in Johnston County, the ground, 90% of the time, when it hasn't rained, the ground is like cement. It is that hard to dig in. And in a lot of developments, people will turn to each other and say, you know, I remember when they put in this neighborhood and they were blasting for weeks to put in the fundamentals, to put in the water and sewer. And just underneath the surface is a lot of busted rock. You've got some tools there that are not going to snap in half if you need to dig.
Right. We got picks and mattocks made by a Council Tool Company.
Yeah.
That do a great job. They're fully warranted, and they're made here at Lake Waccamaw and do a great job. And we fully believe in them.
Yeah.
And part of what you're talking about is, you know, if you look at long sort of I-95, there's a granite outcropping.
Okay.
Just east of there, I mean, just west of there.
Yeah.
And so that's what we're all having to deal with. And, you know, if you look at the farmers, the best place to buy a house is what used to be an old farm field.
Yeah.
But then you sit there and say, well, why aren't there any trees? Well, it used to be a farm.
But there's
a large granite issue in parts and some strains in this part of the world that we have to deal with. And so, there's some rock out there, and the best thing to do is, you know, go through and wherever you're going to plant a garden area, till it up really well and get rid of any of the rock or, you know, that you can find to make sure that that's not going to be an impediment later on.
Right. I'll tell you what, it's and in Fuquay Varina specifically, they couldn't put in homes until they exploded the rock front. It's all quartzite and what did you mention?
Granite.
Yeah. A lot underneath there. All right. If you've got a question for Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers Hardware, could be a botany question, could be a plant growing question, could be a grass question, go ahead and call them right now at 919-860-9783. 919-860-9783 on Making Your Home Great on WPTF. Making Your Home Great on WPTF. It's been a good day. Holly Bowers led off the first hour. We heard from Brock Emmons of Triangle Radiant Barrier. And here's Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers in our last segment. Got a question? 919-860-9783. You could, if you were somebody who wanted to be prepared for summer, come to Burke Brothers with your lawnmower blade.
Right, yeah.
And get you guys to sharpen it.
And we, you know, again, with these 70-degree days, we see an uptick of that. And certainly we want people to be prepared. We don't repair lawnmowers.
Right.
That service disappeared. The guy left us about 5 years ago, 6 years ago now.
Yeah.
But certainly, you know, most people can sort of do their own stuff.
Right.
And so we've got oil. We sharpen blades. We've got the spark plugs, If you come in and sort of talk to us, we can help you with just about everything.
Good.
Shy of repairing everything. But the other thing also is coming in with spring and summer, now's a perfect time to take a walk around the house.
Yep.
You know, I talked about this last year about this time. And with a decent day like today or when you're getting ready for the Super Bowl tomorrow,
yeah,
walk around the house and say, this is what I want to look better in May. And one of the big issues that people have is looking at the screens on their house.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, you look at the screens and, you know, a dog has torn one or a cat's torn one or they're just aging out.
Right.
Now's a perfect time to get those in because once we get into late March, I'll say.
Yes.
Then you're looking at a 2 to 3 week layover before you can get your screens back.
Oh, yeah.
And you've got some really gorgeous days right in there that you can't open your windows.
In other words, right
and
now.
And so right now is a great time.
Okay.
We're not overly busy in that department.
Good.
It's a great time to go ahead and get the screens and look at your storm windows and make sure that, they're where you need to be. And we can take care of both the storm windows and the screens and get everything rescreened. If something's happened, we can actually rebuild a screen based on your measurements. If you bring an old screen in that has a bent frame, we can make sure that it's correct and ready to go so that when you have a 70-degree day like tomorrow, you can sort of open the window and let some of that winter funk leave the house.
Jim in Raleigh on the radio right now. Hi, Jim. How you doing?
Doing good. Thank you.
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, I have an ivy problem taking over my yard. What can I do about the ivy?
Ivy taking over his yard. Are you sure it's not kudzu?
No, it's Hey, I'm a Southern boy. I know the difference.
Okay. All right. He knows.
Is the ivy... do you want the ivy in part of your yard?
No.
Okay. The best thing to do with ivy, unfortunately, is you've got to sort of hit it with a weed killer. And what I tell people is take Roundup when it's actively growing. This is not the right time of year, but give it about March or so when it starts actively growing. You get Roundup, but you mix in Ivory dishwashing detergent. You mix in about a tablespoon per gallon because ivy has a really slick surface. It's called a waxy cuticle.
Oh, yeah.
And so it does have a waxy layer on it, and that's why Roundup by itself doesn't like to stick to it. And so you can get what they call a surfactant, and it's what makes a chemical stick to the leaf that we sell, or you can just use Ivory dishwashing detergent, like I say, about a tablespoon per gallon, and spray it, and then, you know, it's going to take the better part of 2025 to get rid of it.
Wow.
You know, and then you just come in and either till up or rake up the old vines or have somebody come in, you know, depending on the size of your yard, have somebody come in that can, you know, reestablish whatever you want to have there.
I honestly, Jim, I looked up English ivy once to see, you know, could I plant it here? Would it thrive? And I think it's in Virginia. It's listed as a pest.
It is, yeah. A lot of states it's listed as a noxious plant because it has absolutely no knowledge of its bounds. And it is sort of like kudzu. It's going to expand until you chemically, you know, and a lot of people that don't like pesticides say pull it up manually, but that's just a hard thing to do, in my opinion.
Right, right. Oh, no, I don't like using pesticides, but, you know, if I had kudzu growing over a fence, I'm bringing in the Air Force. We're just going to crop dust this whole thing.
Either that or bring in a goat.
A goat, right, to eat it. Beth in Hillsboro, how you doing, Beth?
Hey, I'm doing great.
Good.
I hope y'all are, too.
We are,
yes.
We
are, yes, ma'am.
Okay. So the reason I'm calling, two things for Jeff, is I just want to say how much I appreciate that Burke Hardware carries things that somebody who owns a 90-some-year-old house might need once every 10 years.
Well, that's okay. My house, the early part of my house was built in 1790. So I lived that pleasure and pain with you.
Okay, well, I have the luck here in Hillsborough. We have Dual Supply,
yep.
And
very familiar
they do
with
a
them.
Great job. But yep. Y'all were able to come up with some 6-inch wood screws that I needed.
Well, super.
Save the day. So that was first thing. Second thing is a question, which I just thought of because y'all were talking about screens.
Yeah.
Okay, so on my house wood frame, at some point in its past, they put aluminum, lightweight aluminum storm windows on, and there is in the bottom portion of the window, there is a half window screen.
Right, yeah.
And I don't know the size of it, but they are pretty old, and I was trying to figure out a way to clean them and freshen them up, but then I thought, well, maybe somebody could replace that funky size.
That's right. Yeah, if you can take that screen out, we can certainly replicate it, or you know, we can put in a new screen material.
Yeah, that's because I could do that, but I don't want to. So
right.
We do.
And thanks for calling. My father's family is from Hillsborough, so that place is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, I grew up on my dad grew up north on Highway 86, and so.
Oh yeah, I know that highway very
yep,
well.
Yeah, we my wife and I go over there to the Wooden Nickel several times. I shouldn't say, you know,
no, go
unsolicited.
Ahead.
No, we love going over there, going to the Wooden Nickel for dinner. We go there about once a month.
Well, if you ever come over to Hillsborough Barbecue, you're just a block from my house.
So. Oh, okay. Super.
Yeah, I recommend that place too. Okay, well, great. So once I finish
Pull them out, bring them into Burke Brothers.
Yep, and we will take care of you.
Thank you so much.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you, Beth.
Okay, bye.
Now, at one time, Jeff.
What?
I'm sorry, Beth. I've got a question for Jeff here. At one time, the screen material was probably aluminum.
Yeah, back in the day, I'll say. And some are still aluminum, but everything we do now is fiberglass.
Yeah. Okay.
Aluminum is really hard to work with, and we'll do it on exceptions, but we really try to do the fiberglass. It has more play in it. It has more give in it for animals that might try to – once you distort the aluminum, there's no coming back from that. But fiberglass doesn't have a memory. The fiberglass screening doesn't have a memory, so if you sort of – snag it just a little bit, it's either A, easier to repair, or B, it will come back to its normal shape.
All right. Thank you, Beth. Appreciate your phone call. All right.
Great, thanks.
All right. Take care.
All righty. Bye.
Bye. Anybody mention any town you got a connection to, you know it, and you know the geography, don't worry about mentioning the locations and where you ate. Just listen to the Weekend Gardener for a little bit.
Yeah, our family.
That a little bit.
Yeah, our family is. My mother's side of the family is from Sampson County, but lived in Raleigh for the past 40 years, 50 years. And father's side of the family from Hillsborough, dating back to the mid 1740s.
Right.
So we love this part of the area, and that's why I bought Burke Brothers, and I love being here.
Burke Brothers is located at
5227 Hillsborough Street, a quarter mile west of the fairgrounds.
Now, if you're not going there right now today, but you have a question, we call what number?
919-851-1211.
Thank you very much. Jeff Hastings of Burke Brothers. This is Making Your Home Great. Take care. Have a great week.